talk about the nature of man, we talk about four avenues this morning of the nature of man. The nature of man, one, is to be a person who is physical in his nature and learns about the spiritual. We're physical as we come to this earth. Remember the statement made in Hebrews 12 and verse 9? We all have fathers of the flesh, and we reverence them. Much more God, who's the Father of our spirit, that we may live. We are physically here upon this earth. We see a father and a mother. We see a mother and a father. We learn their traits, and we learn their mannerisms toward us. They show us love, they show us help, and all sorts of things along the way. We learn we are physical beings. And as we grow along in life's highway, we find ourselves getting older and things changing for us. We don't fit into the old trousers we used to be in or pants we used to wear. We don't have the old shirt to be worn anymore. We outgrow those things. Even the hats that we put on in earlier days, we outgrow those particular hats. And as a result, physically know that we improve and we grow. And we get to a stage where we have to get something new in order to put it on and to shelter ourselves and so forth. And physically, there are all sorts of things that are needed. We're going to have some fevers that go along the way. There's going to be something here on earth that's going to bother us. It's going to be our sinuses. It's going to be our throat. We're going to have a sore throat. We're going to find that there have been studies that have been done by good men through the years, and they find some things that have soothed our throat and help us to feel better. And as a result, we find ourselves involved in medicines that help us, and the physical person tries to live as long as we can. And as a result, live as comfortably as we can. Along life's highway, there are teachers to us. And as a result of that teaching that is done, we're taught about the spiritual man, the spiritual side of life. Remember that passage again, Hebrews 12, verse 9. We all have fathers of the flesh, and we reverence them. Much more God, who's the Father of our spirit, that we may live. God is the Father of our eternal nature, our spiritual nature. And we are physical beings that have an eternal side to us. That eternal side is in the image of God. And in the image of God, we are made as was Adam and Eve back at the beginning, as you read in Genesis 1 and 2. And in reference to that matter, we find ourselves as being physical people, understanding by teaching that there is a spiritual dimension to our lives. Number two, we find ourselves in the nature of man, being people who sometimes are self-centered. Because of the physical side of life, we find ourselves wanting to be served and wanting others to cater to our ideas. And we want to speak up and we want to let people know that I have a thought to say in this matter. And as a result, we find ourselves in our nature being people who want to be understood, want to be heard. As a result of that wanting to be heard, we find in the Bible words such as Job would say back there in the Old Testament of our Bible. Job would speak regarding the Lord and how he loved the cause of the Lord and say to his wife who had told him, "Curse God and die. Thou speaketh as doth a foolish woman." Notice that in this connection, she was trying to get him to deny the Lord because he'd gone through various sufferings that he had faced. Their family had lost individuals, their herds and their various flocks had been taken from them, and it was obvious to her that God had abandoned, if there were a God, he had abandoned this man Job, cursed God and died. But we said to her, "Thou speakest as doth a foolish woman." In this particular sense, we see the nature of man from the standpoint of the self-centered way. And we see this wife having this idea in mind. I see only these immediate things. I see only this trial that's come upon us. She was unaware that God had allowed this to take place to prove a point. To prove a point that he could be blessed, that is Job, could be blessed in spite of life's challenges. Challenges of life coming upon Job did not deny God in his mind, did not take away the love for the Lord that he had. "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away," he said. "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job was a man who loved God and in his right way, did not understand why he was suffering as he was. The whole book of Job, over 44 chapters of the book of Job, talk about this time. Job had three or four really good friends on this earth. They came one by one to visit with him as a group. They sat down for several days of time and weeks of time and said nothing to him. They were consoling him only by their presence. Here they were. And the sad situation was, in regard to this matter, that when they began to speak, Eliphaz and Tobar and Bildad, they all had words to say that were not complimentary. They were suggesting that Job had not really searched his heart very well, and the reason that he suffered like this was because there was some dark secret that was a part of Job's life, and that he had self-centered, serving himself as he was, hidden that away. And God knew about it, and God now had brought these plagues upon him and his family. And as a result, Eliphaz was the one who said, particularly to Job, "Do the righteous ever really suffer?" Of course the righteous can suffer. And for the purpose that God has intended, the righteous can go through suffering and show a wonderful faith and a wonderful love for the Lord. And that's what Job was going to do. That's what he was doing. But Eliphaz really had that question, do the righteous ever really suffer? When you and I later on read about Jesus and his suffering time, can we say the righteous can suffer? Yes, we can. We know that that's true. But do you have to deny God? Do you have to reject his right way? Do you have to be self-centered in life? And the answer is no. And Job was a person who saw to it that his wife recognized that she was being self-centered in what she was seeing, that it was short-sighted what she was seeing. And although his friends came and were questioning him, and Job even later on, over in the 39th chapter of Job, he got to questioning himself about his life. He brought up the subject of a young maiden that one time had ventured away in front of him. And Lord, he says, did I think inappropriately of that young, pretty maiden that passed by my sight? Is that why this has befallen me? Is that the reason that this has come upon me? He wearied himself over that. His mind was thinking so much that he thought about that one time. That did he think inappropriately? He didn't remember it. That if he did, he just didn't know why these things had happened. The Lord came to Job, and in the midst of those chapters around 40, 41, he raised a bunch of questions to him. He raised questions that it took our modern-day science really to discover. For example, he said, "Hast thou considered the value of the snow?" Well, all the farmers in our area know that, boy, you get nitrogen to come down with snow, and you get good things and good crops that can come, and good gardens, better gardens that come from the snow, and you can have good things to happen from snow. But do you know the value of the snow? And then he asked, do you know the value of the dust? Modern science unveils to us, were it not for the dust, we'd all burn up from the power of the sun. It's because of the rays of the sun being caught by the various elements of the dust that all of the heat doesn't get here upon this earth and burn us to a crisp. We find that to be the case. But in that day and time, Job couldn't answer. Job could only say, thou knowest, O Lord, thou knowest, O Lord. In this particular matter, in Job 40 and in verse 22, he said, where were you, Job, when I fashioned the heavens and set up the circle of the earth? Scientists and Christian teachers have through the years gone back to that great passage of scripture and say, the Lord was talking about this earth and talked about it being round, and yet when Magellan and Columbus ventured their trips abroad, people were praying for them that they not fall off the edge of the ocean, because they believe when you get so far, that all it was, and you sail off into the deep. And yet all those who were self-centered, conscious of self-existence, they might say things like that and it not be really so. Job was told by the Lord that this was allowed to happen to him, and that his friends, the Lord said, I will not hear their prayers. The Lord took a dim look at what the friends had actually said and the challenges they had given to Job. And
before he restored Job fourfold for all that he had lost, he said, but I will hear your prayers if you pray for your friends. What kind of guy was Job? Boy, I'm going to get them back now. They falsely accused me, and I'm going to get them back now. I'm not going to pray for them at all. Was that the spirit of Job? No, you know better. The rest of the story is not that case. He prayed for his friends to be forgiven. He loved his friends. They were mistaken, just as he in his own mind was mistaken over why this had occurred. God had allowed it to occur to show and demonstrate to everyone around that faith in the heart of this man was strong and good. It wasn't because of the blessings God had given him that he loved the Lord. He loved the Lord in spite of the loss of all those blessings. So it is with you and me. We should not be people who are so self-centered and self-conscious that we find ourselves denying the way of God. We find ourselves looking to God for an answer. We may not know why challenges befall us. We may not know why certain situations take place. But we can look to God in spite of it and still love Him, still live in faith in Him, and know that there is a greater day coming, and believe there's a greater day coming, and have a great reward yet. That's the way we should live and be. I have enough time this morning left to render to part number three. Number one, the nature of man is that we find ourselves physical and we're taught about a spiritual way of life. Number two, we find ourselves being tempted. We're being self-centered as circumstances put forward us in life. And we ought to be people who live in faith and love for the Lord in spite of it all. And Job illustrates that very point. Number three, we should be people who understand that truth will always prevail. Error comes along. Darkness takes place. But in the flicker of a beak, you can repel enough darkness to know that light is stronger than the dark. Anytime there's darkness around us, we find ourselves sometimes thinking darkness is more powerful. Evil is greater. Evil is more enduring than truth and righteousness. And yet we find that that's not true. And we can prove it to ourselves. But we can prove it in God's great word. This is what Jesus said regarding this matter of his own life and his own way in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. These individuals that believed on him, but they wouldn't confess him, they wouldn't go that extra step to show to others, I really truly trust in him. He is the Son of God, and his message is a message to be followed. That is not what Jesus said you should do. Continue in my word, he says. Then are you my disciples indeed. You will truly be what you claim to be. We all recognize how that we are saddened by individuals that make promises to us that they cannot or do not keep. And that those things promised to us do not come to pass. We're disappointed and saddened by those circumstances. And when someone tries to defend their way of doing what they do, and yet they did not come through for us, we find ourselves living and saying to them that they are actually playing the role of a hypocrite about this matter because they know full well that they didn't do what they promised that they were going to do. Yes, we can find ourselves thinking that sadnesses and sorrows are those things that are ever going to be with us, always be with us. But if we look to God's word and see his teaching, and we see the Lord saying, if you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We need to be people who open God's word on any subject. If it's a subject of grace, what does the Lord's Word teach about grace? Faith, what does the Lord's Word teach about faith? What does the Lord's Word teach about judgment? What does the Lord's Word teach about love? What does the Lord teach about cooperation? What does the Word of the Lord teach about truth? It teaches if we continue in that Word, we'll find the truth, and the truth will make us free. The nature of man is of such nature to find himself often going around through life mistakenly thinking that darkness is stronger than light, until in fact he sees that just a flicker of light is stronger than the vast amount of darkness. And a soldier on a battlefield would find himself not wishing to flick any light in the presence of enemies on a far hill. That would be an announcement made just as loud as if he were to stand up and shout where his location would be. Why, that flicker of light, we know someone is there. He would take that chance. Light and truth is stronger than error. These three parts of the nature of man in our first part of our study, we'll get underway with number four tonight, Lord willing, at six. We hope that you'll be with us. God bless you in every particular regard. That number four is that love is the most powerful thing to affect us. That's the nature of man. Look forward to it tonight. Thank you for listening this morning and study with us, and this song of invitation is provided. It's a word, set of words that we sing together to encourage anyone that whose heart has been broken by the things heard this morning. There's some way of life we've been living in and doing in our way of life that we want to repent of. We want to turn to the Lord and ask Him to forgive us. Simon did that in Acts 8:22 when he, in repentance and prayer, had the Lord to forgive him. He asked Peter, pray to the Lord for me that none of these things you said will come upon me. Indeed, there may be someone with us today that said, I never obeyed the gospel of Christ. I never have come into the Lord. Well, that continuing in His truth will make you a disciple indeed. And if you continue in His word, you'll be His disciple. You'll know the truth. And when you see this morning, and you may have studied this in days gone by, and you say, I need to confess my faith in the Lord, be baptized into Him, like the Ethiopian did in Acts chapter 8. I need to be one in the Lord today. Well, you can do that right now, as we sing a word of encouragement to you.